Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now, it is time for the watch list when we give you your definitive guide to watch for the week ahead on the big screen as well as the small ones. And joining me today are writer Henrietta McCurvey and entertainment journalist Brian Lloyd. You're both very, very welcome. Brian, I'm going to start maybe with you with a few movies. A big family movie this week, a live action remake, How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting as well because, I mean, originally How to Train Your Dragon was a book, so you could almost kind of call this not necessarily live action remake so much as it is just a new adaptation of it. That being said, it's the same director, Dean DeBlois. They managed to rope in a few of the original voice actors as well. For example, Jared Butler is reprising his role as Stoic, the Viking. Nick Frost is in there as well. I have to say, I enjoyed this a lot more than I expected it because generally speaking, these sort of live action remakes like the recent Snow White one, for example, are just very, very bland and don't really have any kind of purpose other than to just kind of artificially drive the thing on. But this had a lot of heart to it, and I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that the director really understood what made the book so kind of enjoyable and why it resonated with kids and, you know, young adults and all the rest of it.
So it translated well to the
Translated
screen.
very well. Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminded me of...
Because you're sometimes nervous when you've, you know, developed this affinity for books or a series. Are they going to wreck it?
No, not at all. I think they honoured it quite well. And to be honest, I had a lovely memory of the likes of, like, Willow and, like, kind of, you know, those sort of 80s, 90s fantasy adventures that they don't really make anymore. So, yeah, I enjoyed it, yeah.
A samurai puppet show set in Scotland. Henrietta.
I know, there's a pitch, isn't it? Samurai in 18th century Scotland. It is the most unforgiving landscape in the 1790s, this film by John McLean, and I really loved it.
What's the film's name?
Tornado.
Tornado.
Yes, and Tornado is the character in it. She's a young Japanese woman who's travelling with her father, and they do the samurai puppet show, these tales of honour and revenge and tragedy. It's beautifully done. And they cross paths with a ruthless gang, which is led by Sugarman, played by Tim Roth, and his son Little Sugar, which is a really good surly performance from Jack Loudon. And so Tornado and this little boy, they steal the gold.
Of course.
Yeah, and it's really good. It's really interesting. There's a sort of time shift in it, so you have to keep your wits about you. If you're squeamish about swords and people getting hurt really badly with them, you might have to put your hand over your eyes like I did for a few minutes. But it's really beautifully done. It looks so bleak. It leaves a lot of things unanswered. And I was wondering, Brian and I were talking about this earlier. I was wondering, is it actually an allegory for what's happening in the world today? Because you're watching these performances, but the real villainy is happening behind the scenes. Wow. You know, even though these little shows are being played out for audiences. It's great.
Wow.
In cinemas now.
Brian, a lot of people will be looking out for your next pick. It comes from the director, Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
28 years later,
yeah. And actually, funny, we're talking about, you know, allegories and stuff like that. Already it's been kind of pitched that 28 years later is going to be an allegory about what Brexit did to Britain and how it kind of, you know, locked people in and locked them out from the rest of the world. And what does that happen when a community becomes so insular that it starts to essentially eat itself?
Ray Fiennes is in it.
Yeah, he plays a doctor in it. Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Jodie Comer is in there as well. Jack O'Connell, who people would know from Sinners as well, had a great turn in Sinners. He's in this as well. Written by Alex Garland, the great Alex Garland. Hasn't been screened yet for press. They're keeping it till literally the day before it's released for us to get a chance to see it.
And is Cillian Murphy involved in it?
Well, see, this is the thing. They've said no, but it would not shock me in the slightest if he turned up in the last 5 minutes or if he had some sort of a cameo, because they're apparently planning to do 3 more films after this. And apparently he may have some involvement in those. But no, they've said kind of officially that no, it's not. He's not going to be involved in it. But I think that could be a little bit of misdirection.
Could be. We were celebrating the rom-com not allowing people to be snobby about it earlier with Anna Carey. But the French certainly know how to do a quality one. Jane Austen Wrecked My Life.
That's a great title, isn't
it? Brilliant
title. Such a good title. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I mean, I was watching this. So essentially what's going on, this is it's a woman who works in Shakespeare and Company, which is a famous bookstore in Paris. She is obviously obsessed with Jane Austen, obsessed with the Regency era notions of romance. She's selected for this thing called the Jane Austen residency somewhere in England. She goes there and she has this sort of tumultuous relationship with the owner of it, who's like the great, great, great grand nephew of Jane Austen. But then she has a little bit of a flame for her co-worker back in the bookstore. And it's, you know, you're watching this and you're thinking, yeah, this is great. But what it does quite smartly, and again, the French do this so well, is it basically takes your expectations and then slowly kind of unravels them a little bit and kind of plays with the fact that, you know, modern romance has moved on and it's been a better kind of thing because, first of all, women have agency. Second of all, we have a more kind of forthright approach to it and all the rest of it. It's not all kind of layered and mystery and sort of like small glances and the touch of a hand, that it can be a bit more kind of forthright. But this is great. I mean, it's not as sort of satisfying as you might hope in, say, something like, I don't know, Clueless, for example, where, you know, it just took Emma and just really kind of put a pop culture vein through it. This is a little bit more cerebral, but very enjoyable.
Let's talk about another great romance, which is our relationship with the GAA, Henrietta. A documentary on RTE, Hell for Leather, The Story of Gaelic Football. This was 5 years.
Five years in the making. Isn't that amazing? And it looks it. I mean, the footage is beautiful. It's really well done.
How many episodes?
There's five episodes. Yeah, so the second episode is on tomorrow night, 9:35 RTE, and also on The Player. And what I found really interesting about the episode that's on tomorrow, it's very much about the relationship between radio and GAA. Mm. So Irish Radio 2RN, when it launched on the 1st of January in 1926, and Douglas Hyde was the first person to speak. Mm. And he made the point that a nation is made from inside itself, that customs and culture and sport, they mean everything.
And of course, there was a very, very pronounced to bring the new state and Gaelic culture
together. So they were really united, and 2RN covered sport from early on. So that relationship between the state and culture really began to thrive. And there's fantastic footage of people listening to the radio, you know, listening to matches on the radio. The stories about how a guy took his window out so that more neighbours could cram in and listen.
And look, obviously there's over 80 interviews. Is there a good kind of balance of the male and female? Do we get to see some of our more modern female stars?
Yeah, absolutely. Cork's Juliet Murphy and Kerry's Dara O'Kaneda are sort of up front and centre in it. There's a really good mix of people. It's really interesting, yeah. And it actually has footage in tomorrow night's one of the 1947 football final. Because that was the centenary of the worst year of the famine, it was played in the US.
Oh, fantastic.
So people are listening to a transatlantic match at a time when most people wouldn't have even made a transatlantic phone call. Yeah, really opened up the world.
From very transatlantic to other worlds, Brian, another family movie. I think lots of family movies are made for adults. But it's an 11-year-old boy meeting up with some aliens. Sounds like great crack.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, so this is Disney Pixar's Elio. again, yeah, as you say it there, it's a young kid who basically doesn't fit in with the world around him. Is desperate to meet an alien, no matter how hard he tries, it doesn't seem to happen for him. And then, of course, magically one night, an alien ship appears over him, and he's sucked up into it and is brought off into this fantastical world. Disney have been having a little bit of trouble as of late with kind of some of their animated efforts have been a bit hit and miss. I'm due to see this on Monday. I'm hopeful about it. I mean, it looks cute for sure, and I mean, you know, I think the fact that it's a different, it's not a sequel or anything like that. It's not like Toy Story 5 or Incredibles 2 or 3 or whatever it is. This is an original kind of story. So that in itself, I think, is worthy of
Henrietta, Dietrich by Garbo.
Yes, this is really, I love classic films and I think they should be seen on the big screen. And they even don't appear on television very much. Mm. So when there is something, a season like this, this is in the Irish Film Institute. It runs to the end of the month. And it is a fantastic selection. They did a David Lean series recently.
That was brilliant. I saw
Brief Encounter and Bridge on the River Kwai. You know, it's a great place to see them. So it is about Marlene Dietrich, Greta Garbo, who claimed never to have met. They didn't like each other, even though they're always sort of pitched together and they're often mentioned together. But there's a fantastic selection of movies. Dietrich's Blonde Venus is on this afternoon, and Garbo and Queen Christina on Tuesday. And The Judgment at Nuremberg, which is, again, a Dietrich ends
Brian,
the season.
Brian, can I just ask you, before I let you both go, there was a time when thousands of films were banned in this country, you know, they, and in the opinion of the censor, looks at that.
It does, yeah. So it's a documentary. It's John Kelleher, who was himself a censor as well, I think from like 2003, 2009, I think it was.
Most films go through at that point.
This is it. I mean, so it basically talks about how many, you know, films were banned. I think it was something like 16,000 films.
1,700.
1,700, sorry, apologies.
And what a strange job it must have been sitting in those little booths watching.
Yeah, no, it's very, very strange job. But yeah, it really kind of approaches it from a sort of an authored kind of perspective. John Kelleher gives his opinion on it, the role of the censor, the idea of, like, you know, it was about the moral kind of fibre of the country. And you were talking there about 1920s in Ireland, and that was very much about setting the culture
madly banning books at the
correct.
Same time.
Correct, and how that's kind of shifted to where we are now, where it is, you know, a lot more permissive and a lot more progressive.
And where classification has sort of taken away,
taken away a lot of
that. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. It sounds absolutely fascinating. But that's all we have time for. You can, I just want to say thank you, obviously, to Brian Lloyd and Henrietta McCurvey. You can listen back to all of the conversations from today's show on the RTE radio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's show was produced by Eilish O'Shea. The series producer is Tessa Delahanty. Research was by Jennifer Gannon. Senan Gullinan was the broadcast coordinator, and Mark McGrath was on sound. You can stay tuned for this week with Kane McCormick next, but I'm going to leave you with a band who are playing Dublin's Ivy Gardens next month from 1995, going a little bit back. This is Supergrass with All Right.